I'm Doug McCauley, California's Real Estate Commissioner. Thank you for listening to First Home California.
From the California Department of Real Estate, this is First Home California, helping Californians buy their first home. We're so glad you found us. I'm Rick Lopes. The Department of Real Estate has created this podcast to provide you with the knowledge and insights to help you get to a place where you know what to expect during the home buying process and help make sure you're ready to make an informed decision about what will likely be the biggest purchase of your life. Each episode focuses on a specific part of the home buying process, so be sure to hit follow on your podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. Today, we're taking a close-up look at how a home appraisal works. While the home appraisal is another one of the most critical steps in the home buying process, it's really not for the homeowner. We'll explain what I mean. Here in California, real estate appraisers are regulated by the state's Department of Consumer Affairs, and specifically by its Bureau of Real Estate Appraisers, or BREA. Joining me today from BREA is their Bureau Chief, Angela Jamont. Angela was sworn in as Bureau Chief in March of 2022. Previously, she served for 7 years as the Executive Director of the California Commission on Disability Access. She also has more than 20 years of executive leadership experience in both business and educational entities and is a graduate of Cal State University Sacramento. Angela, stingers up. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Rick. Stingers up.
Well, let's start off today by having you tell us just what is an appraisal and why is the appraisal needed and who pays for it?
Rick, you know, I'm just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. And this, as was stated, I just received my marching orders in March of last year to serve in this capacity. And I honestly know that probably many questions that you all, the consumers, have some of the things I've had similar in my mind, and I'm so glad to be able to kind of just chat with you to talk about those maybe distinctions or things to clarify. So appraisal, this is something, the first thing is I think that many of us are confused about is the difference between an inspection and an appraisal, because inspectors have a different role, and that's the one thing that I used to always get confused. What is an appraisal and what's an inspection? So let's clear that up. The inspection is someone who's hired to look at the construction of the building and the plumbing. But an appraisal work is basically giving you the market opinion of the value of the home. And the appraisers will do that under their trained techniques of appraising that property. They may, for example, see some dry rot and may put that in their report, but it's not the inspection process. That was something they may notice. But the appraisal will actually be just a value market opinion of the property using what we call a uniform standard of appraisal practices for within licensed and certified appraisers.
Sure. Now let's talk about who pays for it, because I've bought a few different houses during my lifetime, and I don't think I've ever been there when the appraisal's been done. And actually, that's probably not surprising when you realize that as the new home buyer, you're not actually paying for the appraisal. So you tell us who actually is paying for this and why it's important to them.
Yes. This really depends on who's purchasing. There's different reasons for appraisal. So let's talk about it. So when a person is actually receiving a loan, lenders are looking to, a buyer is trying to have a lender help them purchase that home. The lender is the one who actually will secure an appraiser, but the borrower, the ones who's looking for the finance, is the person who pays for the appraisal report. In another situation, if a person is just a homeowner who wants to just understand what their value of their home, they can actually purchase appraisal services, but they can't hold that appraisal report and give it to a lender. The lender is the one who has to actually initiate, because there's a lot of timeline and specifications regarding when appraisal report can be used at the time of a purchasing. Then another example, and this is very common in California especially, is when in the cases of divorce or estate sales, the owner of that appraisal report and the purchaser who pays for it, that would be the person who would be responsible for and can purchase an appraisal report and appraisal services. So those are distinct differences. But clear point is, and I know this is another question that a lot of us have, is that the lender is responsible for securing the appraisal services, but the borrower is the one who pays for that service.
Okay, and so that's important because they, in essence, they want to make sure that there's value in that home in case they ever have to come back and repossess it. They want to make sure the value's there before they give a loan.
Absolutely. They have the responsibility of that value, and they're the ones who's keep paying, giving you, the consumer, the ability to purchase the home through their financing. And so they're very vested in knowing how much is the value of the of that purchase at the time of interest.
So zeroing back in on the first-time home buyer, do they have any potential say in who that appraiser is going to be? Or because the lender is the one paying for it and it's for them, that's completely within the lender's realm on picking who they want to be the appraiser?
Rick, this is the distinction. It's kind of interesting. It is up to the lender. They use a appraisal management company. Many times they have a panel of appraisers. They know how to select them from that panel, as well as they have a number of individual fee-based appraisers who independently work that they really regularly use. And so they're the ones who actually secure the appraisers.
Well, that's an interesting, I didn't realize that existed. That should be, I guess, a little bit more for the homeowner, the potential homeowner to know about that this is not, they just don't have my appraiser that's going to come back with the number that the lender wants to hear, that there is a little bit of independence there, even though they're being hired by the lender.
And this is a really distinct, important aspect of our services in terms of the appraisal industry. We're independent. The need to be separate from, that is, not to have any benefit from the sale, the purchasing of the home. That's why the appraisers are sworn to serve in the capacity of an independent, unbiased professional who will only provide, he or she will only provide their opinion, their market value opinion, based on their techniques in processing of appraisal report.
Okay. All right. So now let's take us through the steps of what an appraiser does during an appraisal and what an appraiser is looking for to help them determine the home's value.
This is something that where there is a little bit of opportunity to work with an appraiser, I would say. That is, appraiser will look at the exterior of your home, of the property, and health and safety matters will be observed, the landscape around the property. And then they will investigate, review the interior of the home, the property. And this is where they will take in consideration of how many bedrooms, bathrooms, amenities of the home. And from there, they would take the opportunity, if there was something that was given to them regarding a list of receipts showing, hey, I just purchased this refrigerator, washer and dryer, these are brand new, things of that nature. Those are information they would include in their appraisal work. But the process, the technique, it typically is what we call a sales comparison process. So they would take this information, and honestly, before they even get to your home, they would be their property. They would look at this the city county information, the MLS information, that is the multiple sales listings. They would use that data, a lot of collecting of data, because the square footage is not by just because it was said to be 2,400 square feet, but they will actually use the county records to determine that square footage and any other particular grades that they need to determine in that in the property. They would take that journey of looking from the exterior to the interior. And again, this is specifically we're talking about when you're purchasing a home, interior, exterior, and any amenities, and they'll make the adjustments on their calculations of how they would measure that house. The process, and I'm sure we're looking at it, the sales, we hear about sales comp. Sales is something that happened recently within the community, as well as within a 1 to 2 mile radius. So they will compare sales within the last 6 months as within the area. So those are the conditions that they use to help determine the fair market value of your home, your property.
Sure. As I mentioned, I bought a few homes during my life. Fortunately, every time the home was appraised for at least the amount that I paid for it, but there's no guarantee that's going to happen. So what does it mean for a new home buyer if the home appraises for less than they've agreed to pay for it?
Now, this is something that is really important to know, that as the consumer, the borrower, you have the opportunity at that point to make a determination. You will decide if you love this property, and if there is a gap, there must be an adjustment on your side to decide if you want to fill in the gap financially compared to the loan value, because the bank will only go by the appraisal amount of that property. So they'll say, let's say they said it's $100,000. Now, we're not talking California in general, just for number's sake. The appraisal comes in at $100,000, and the sales price was higher than $100,000. And let's say it was $200,000 they're trying to sell it for. Well, that's a big gap, and that's the decision what you would have to make as consumer. Do I want to find other financing, or do I need to determine if this is something I would go back to the seller and say, look, let's negotiate this because this is more than I can afford. Those are the opportunities when there's a difference of price between. And typically, and as you said, Rick, they come in normally the same, but there's times when there may be some differences, and that's when the buyer will have to make a decision if this is the property they really want to purchase.
Yeah, and I would say, too, at this time, it's important for home buyers to remember you've hopefully hired a real estate agent to represent you. So your agent should know the area you're looking in. They should be able to tell you if they think there's going to be any concerns about an appraisal not coming back for the value. So really lean on them before you even make an offer, and as you're going through this process, to make sure they can help you understand what they believe the value is for that, so you don't get this surprise. I can't imagine anything worse than having everything set, your loan pre-approved, you made your offer, it's been accepted, all of a sudden the appraisal, and it just throws you off the rails. So you want to use the experts that you've hired that are there with you to help you so you don't fall into this situation. Now, does the home buyer, what can they do? What options do they have if they do have a disagreement with the appraisal?
So what this term that we tend to hear is the rights of reevaluation, to request a reevaluation of the home, of the property. That can be done, and that would have to go back to the lender. It's not the seller's responsibility, it's the lender's, who will decide if they want to reevaluate and have another appraisal report done. And if they say no, again, the buyer can either say, well, I will then change. And this is tough because, yes, as you just said, a lot of investment has been made already. But it is possible. There has been very common that a lender would comply because they want to sell this. They want your business. And so that is something to be able to ask the lender to request again, and that can be done. And so they can go back out, a totally different independent appraiser, and that person would then give their opinion of value.
All right, let's switch gears now and talk about the appraiser. What does somebody have to do in order to get their real estate appraiser's license?
And so, of course, I'm really excited to tell you about that because we license them in our office. And we are really, really looking to extend the opportunity, because I say we're in a new history of change in our industry because there's several new methodologies of getting your the ability to get your license. And that is through, one, we have a traditional model of a supervisory
model, which you would apply to for your license, take the coursework. I should say, let me back up. You go through your coursework. There's qualifying education requirements, and then there's what we call work experience that you would have to apply based on the level of your licensure that you're looking for, and then the exam. From the exam, once you complete your work experience and your exam, you become a licensure. There are three levels that we call licensure or certification within appraisal industry. One is the residential model that you may receive your license and actually appraise homes or properties less than a million and non-complex properties, residential properties. The next level is the certified residential, and that is also where you have residential property, but those do not have a dollar amount, and it can be as complex as they are in terms of types of complexity of residential homes in California. And then thirdly, there's a certified general, which you can actually receive your license to be a residential and commercial. So those are the three levels. And then, but of course, we have a trainee where you can start off as a trainee and become a appraiser, but you would have to have all your work signed off by a supervisor. So there's a trainee, the licensed residential, the certified residential, and then a certified general. Those are our four types.
So licensed residential, for the average first-time home buyer, that's probably the type of appraiser that's going to come because it's just your general. I would assume the next level, if you start having things like lakes or branches or something that makes the residential property a little bit more complex, you're going to want to have people that have that extra level of specialization. But for the average first-time home buyer who's looking to buy in a subdivision or in a city, chances are just that first level is the kind that they're going to need.
Indeed. And again, that's where the lenders, they know the type of levels of which they can hire for because they know based on the type of complexity of the property that's being sold is the type of licensed professional they'll be hiring.
Yeah. In many ways, the Bureau of Real Estate Appraisers is very much like the Department of Real Estate, where one of our big responsibilities is to receive complaints that are filed with us. Now, I know that in the way we've talked here, it sounds like most of your, what we typically say are consumers, are actually the lenders. So I would guess that lenders are where you get most of your complaints. But do you get consumer complaints, or what kinds of things can they possibly have if they have complaints, can they file with the Bureau?
And this, Rick, is so important for us because our job is to protect the public's trust. That's what we're here for. We want the consumers to know that we are ensuring that professionals are serving them well. And if they're not, you have a right to come to the Bureau and submit a complaint. All complaints, no matter what the complaint is, we will receive it through our complaint system form. On our website, www.brea.ca.gov. You're welcome to come to our website, and there you can download the complaint form and submit it to us. And we will review every complaint. As long as you submit it to us on that form, you will receive a response.
Now, what types of things do you tend to see the consumers that would file complaints on? What kind of issues? Because there's probably going to be some issues that you don't have jurisdiction, you're not going to be able to do anything about. But are there, what kinds of areas may Brea be able to do something about?
If a person feels that this home was not appropriately evaluated in any kind of fashion, we have seen as an enforcement unit, we have seen where some folks need some additional training, and we will offer that to these licensures because we want them to get better. But if there's some situations where they really have been incompetent, we'll revoke their license. And it's been a whole gamut of things based on gross errors in their judgment and their opinions and not using the appropriate tools and the processes that has been given to them in their responsibility as a licensed professional. But this is one thing that would just occurred additionally within the last 2 years is added to our complaint form is in regard to the discrimination. If you feel that you've been discriminated against in any manner, because we have responsibility to protect the public in any capacity, marital status, race, religion, all forms of protected classifications, we will review those. And it is on our actual complaint form where you can check the box to say you felt you were discriminated against. And we actually encourage you to do so in that format. And we, again, like all our complaint forms, will take the time to research it and determine if indeed you were discriminated against. And it's important for us to share that because it is something where people may not know to come to BREA. HUD has avenues at which you can submit your complaints to, but we also equally will review their complaints and determine if indeed there's a case to be made.
Terrific. And you mentioned the website before, which is brea.ca.gov. Are there any kind of resources that a consumer would look at or be able to utilize before they go into the process and actually need the appraiser that you've got for them?
I would say on our website, we have lots of resources or associations that you can review to help you understand the process, and other associations can help you determine things to also look for in appraisal work. I would tell you it is a library of information on our website, and I would encourage anyone and everyone to just take the time. We have a number of educational module information on there that you can download and review, and we encourage you to indeed take the time to do so.
Great. Well, Angela, how about any final thoughts as a first-time homebuyer is going through this process and it does come time for the real estate appraisal? Any final thoughts that you want them to take with them and to remember from our conversation here about the appraisal process?
I will just again, for those who are interested, it is worth the effort. We have a partnership with our realtors to do a great job in helping you find and secure a home that you feel that you know has great value, that you can long-term know that this is a place that you can invest for your family for now and years to come.
Well, great. Angela Jamott, Chief of the Bureau of Real Estate Appraisers, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your expertise. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of First Home California. Thank you for listening. Be sure to click on the follow button on your podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. We'd also appreciate it if you tell a friend about the podcast. Even if they aren't a first-time home buyer, we've got a lot of information here that will help them navigate the home buying process. We also invite you to check out the First Home California page on our Department of Real Estate website. The address is drea.ca.gov/First Home California. I'm Rick Lopes. You've been listening to First Home California, a production of the California Department of Real Estate.